And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, five headstrong clones struggle to complete their training on Kamino. These cadets, Heavy, Cut-Up, Droid Bait 5s, and Echo, seem to be a bad batch, and are unable to work as a team. As Shock T and drill instructors, Brick and LS, debate about the cadets' fates, the clones learn to work together and accept their destiny as soldiers. There will be the return of Fives, Echo, and... hey, wait, didn't Heavy die back in Rookies? We have the explanation. We're talking about clone cadets this week. Hi, Chris.
Hey, we're back in the saddle again.
Woohoo! Welcome back. Feels good. Good, my saddle's, like, nice and, like, worn in. We got two seasons of, like, saddle riding in. Yeah, it's nice. Soft.
Yeah, well, it's been, yeah, we had a little five episode break of doing actual episodes.
I know. It was nice to have a month of not doing outlines. It was a nice little break. So.
By our numbers of the first two of the three of the prequels, it seems like people are enjoying having commentaries, so
yeah,
maybe that'll be a holiday tradition.
I was just saying by next year we'll have some other movies like Rogue One out, so maybe we'll see about commentaries.
Yeah. We could do a commentary for The Force Awakens. That's out too.
I'm so excited. I would like to do that. I like that one a lot. I'm still under the impression the way, like, Darth Maul's a little cockroach, he's going to just show up in Episode 8 and be like, Rey, I am your new master. She'd be like, Luke, who the hell's this? And he's like, I don't know. He has spider legs.
All right, listen to, not to get wet like 12 months ahead of the game, but what if we did like Force Awakens, Rogue One, and like the Tartakovsky Clone Wars? Because I think when you put it all together, it's about 2 hours long.
Okay.
And then... for, you know, where we did the holiday special this year, like, we could do one of the Ewok movies, like the first Ewok movie.
Yeah, because I've never seen those either.
Oh. Okay. Well, they're better than the holiday special.
I'm still not, like, I'm just,
I've only seen one of the Ewok specials, the first one. I saw it when it came on, and I videotaped it and had the videotape for years. But, It's not holiday themed, but it has that holiday. It might have come out around Christmas or something, but it has that. It has kind of a holiday feel to it. So, yeah. Well, I'll think of that as a tentative plan.
I like this tentative plan. I'd be down for that, because we have to also count carefully. Because remember, at the beginning of last year, we put out like. Two episodes, an episode every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So
we might just not be able to line it up as pretty as we did this year. This year we're tied it up in just such a nice knot, like.
We could do something like between season 3 and season 4, though, like maybe like the Kanan comics, because they're Clone Wars based, or some of the other comics.
Some of the other Clone Wars comics were really good too.
Yeah,
I've got a good sampling of those.
I'm holding one right now. They are on my desk. They live on my desk. And I really want to do one called Defenders of the Lost Temple.
Oh.
It's about a Force-sensitive clone. I really want to do that.
So,
I'd like to do that one. But I would also like to talk about the Kanan comics as well.
Yeah.
But the Kanan comics, I think, is broken into two arcs. So we could do, like, the first six issues 1 week and the second... next two issues the next week or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. What would you guys like us to do? Because we'll probably need to pad out stuff in between episodes. So would you guys want us to do, like, comics between season 3 and season 4 tentatively? That's the key word here, tentatively. Or would you like us to do maybe, like, maybe that's where we do the Tarkovsky Clone Wars or Kanan or something or other? Rogue One? I don't know. I'm just making sounds now.
So. Eventually, that'll be one of our podcasts, is just us making sounds like the teachers in the Peanuts. Oh, you're crazy.
Oh, you're crazy. Grievous. Easy, Grievous.
Anyway.
All right, so to the actual episode.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. Do it, clone babies! But not really, they're adults. Alright, so... ha. I haven't changed that from Lethal Trackdown, but at least I changed the number. Clone Cadets is the 45th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on September 17th, 2010. It was written by Cameron Litvak and directed by Dave Filoni. It aired with the episode ARC Troopers for an hour-long season premiere. Some extra information for you about the episode. Season 3 was marketed under the tagline, Secrets Revealed. Something to look out for, some changes in the show's character designs took place during this season, based on the passage of time during the series. Clone Cadets takes place chronologically right after the Clone Wars movie and before the episode Supply Lines, which we will cover in 2 weeks. Rookies takes place 6 episodes after this one, where Heavy, Cutup, and Droid Bait all die, and only Echo and Fives are the surviving members of the Domino Squad, so they only really make it 6 episodes, which makes me sad. Tasha Valenez is the voice of Shaak Ti. Previously, she played Ann Gela, one of the Twi'leks who massages Sebulba in The Phantom Menace, which we covered a few weeks ago. She is also the voice of Aurra Sing in 2 different Star Wars video games. Bob Bergen, who voices Lamasu, also voiced Luke Skywalker in a whopping 14 Star Wars video games.
Yikes.
Yeah. When preparing the final test for the cadets, Commander Cult tells LS to set the challenge to version THX variable 1138. This is one of the many references in George Lucas's work to his first feature film, TH-1138. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni said, "In season 1, we did an episode called Rookies. On the crew, it was one of our favorite episodes. When it aired, it became very clear that the fans also really related to the Rookies. They really liked that episode, and we thought, wow, we really got something here. George took special notice of that, and after several discussions, we wanted to go back and see who these guys were before they got to the Rishi Moon. We find out that they're developing their personalities, and they're kind of a motley group. They don't really follow orders well. They're not a good team working group. This destroys the idea that clones are just made, they come out of the tubes, and they're all going to work as efficient soldiers together. We had a particularly special challenge with the clones on Kamino, and that we couldn't make these guys different from one another visually on the home planet. They don't have drastically different haircuts. They don't have tattoos. It's in the battlefield that they develop more of their personality and become more individualistic. They're not out there doing that yet. The animators had to give them physical things like the way of walking, while similar, that are different from clone to clone. That's a very difficult thing to communicate, especially to a kid, when you cut from one shot to the next with these clones. Clone Cadets is special because it goes back to the original, goes back to the guys of the Domino Squad, the Rookies, and it shows that they're as different as you and me. Clone babies. Yay.
They're in that awkward place between clone babies and clone adults.
Clone adults. Yeah, they are. They're teenage clones. They're like high school seniors. They're just getting senioritis.
Yep.
Now, something I kind of wish Dave also mentioned is what a good job Dee Bradley Baker makes making the Domino Squad sound drastically different too.
I think that worked better than I saw what they were trying to do to make their body language a little different, but it was hard to tell them apart until they were talking.
Yeah.
Really.
especially Cut Up, because he, or yeah, Cut Up has that very Scottish accent.
Yeah.
And so I love his accent. I wish they did that with far more clones, having just like that Scottish accent. But yeah, it's, yeah, pretty much, if I wasn't sure, if it sounded like a brash jerk, I was like, that has to be Heavy. Heavy's the only one that talks that way. So, in my notes when I was doing the summaries, I was like, well, if it's a brash asshole, it's probably Heavy, so I'm naming it Heavy. By the way, do you know who's also a brash asshole? Who might actually like brash assholes?
Yoda has rash on his asshole. Classy.
What's it called? Oh, did Yoda toss a salad today?
Oh.
I have a story about tossing salads.
Goes right with platitude, it does.
I have a story. So, okay. For anybody who doesn't know, I can't believe I'm about to say this. So we were doing this show in, we called it the Freshman Hazing Show in my college theater, because, but it became, as it kind of went on, like a good show for like first designers and anything, and stuff like that. Anyway, it was called Episodes in Sexuality, and it was a student-directed, student-written, and student-designed show. And so pretty much our teachers were like, they're just overseeing us, making sure we didn't kill each other, but pretty much we did everything ourselves. And, you know, they helped us build stuff because not everybody can weld. So they made sure we didn't kill each other and, like, gave us direction and stuff. Anyway, we have this one year we were doing Episodes in Sexuality. One of the people, girls came out, they did kind of these, like, in between, like, little bits while they were changing the set. And one of the actresses came out, and she was just like, dramatically, with this bowl of lettuce, was like, da 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 da, like dancing and tossing the salad. And like, there was another one where a girl came out with a taco, and she was like da 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 da, doing a dance with this taco, and like pretending to lick it and stuff like that. Anyway, so our theater director, God bless her, like we were getting notes at the end of the night, and she goes, okay, I have to ask something. What is the bit about tossing salads? And my roommate, who is the director, she's a student director of the show, was like, okay. And I see her turn kind of red because it hits her that she's about to explain to her teacher what tossing salads means. And she just goes very calmly, well, it's when you lick the outside of a butthole. And she goes, really? Wow! But that's not the end of the story, because, like, 2 weeks after that, we go to theater competition, and, like, we're all, like, showing our design work and stuff like that, and our theater director gets drunk and just starts screaming at other teachers across the restaurant. She was like, hey, Charles, do you know what it means to toss salads?
Yes.
I can tell you what it means to toss a salad! And we're all just
in the theater? Going, yes. Probably, yeah. Maybe.
We're all just sitting there like, oh my god, please shut up. She's like, and then she would like look at our waitress and be like, see the salad? I'm going to toss the salad. And we're like, that's not okay.
I had a good friend of mine who had a really bad heart attack, basically was dead for 20 minutes, and they revived him, but he was in the hospital and like, with a lot of like, he's eventually recovered, but he had a lot of brain damage at the time, and so he was in the hospital. He was barely there, and he was sort of like a little child, and you know, this is a man like in his 40s, and we went to visit him one day, my roommate and I, and there was a, you know, middle-aged older nurse there, and just sort of fussing around him while we were in there, and he was a musician. He was a electronic music musician, and maybe the conversation, what it was of a conversation with him, went to music or something, and the nurse said, oh, do you like music? And he said, yes. And she said, I like all kinds of music. You know what kind I like best? Scat music. And he goes, you like scat? And she goes, oh, I really like scat. And he's like, you like scat a lot. And my roommate and I are, you know, we know this guy and we know exactly what he means. It was, and we're like, well, I think he's gonna be okay. Anyway.
So, you know who also likes scat?
Scat.
Scat cat.
I just see someone with a, some lady with a broom, like, chasing Yoda out of the room. Scat, scat.
Scat cat. And she's, like, doing that, like, thing where he, like, runs between her legs and, like flips up her skirt when he runs off the other side.
Yoo-hoo.
Well, I do have to say that I think we got back to a really good one tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Brothers in arms are brothers for life. In bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, clone brothers holding each other.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is a good one for you especially.
Yeah, it
the,
is.
That thought's already crossed Hope's mind, I think.
I think I actually put it somewhere. I did. I put it in my notes. I'm actually going to read it in about two paragraphs, my response to that. So here we go. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Act 1. It's time to do the time warp again. We're going back to early Clone Wars time. On Kamino, Jedi General Shaak Ti oversees the clone training for the Republic Army, along with two contracted bounty hunters, Actual Asshole Brick and Beta Male LLS. We open in a battle! Okay, it's not a real battle. The Domino Squad is working in a test battle. Echo relays all the commands, pissing everybody off, and they piss him off by calling him Echo. Heavy is like, fuck all this! I have the big-ass guns! I have the power! And he mows down several non-lethal droids. Echo is like, you are breaking formation, and therefore the rules, and the teacher will send you to the principal's office! Heavy mows away through the droids, and everyone starts doing their own thing. Vibe gets saved from a blast and reinstates that his name is Fives, a.k.a. one of Hope's favorite clones ever. After Rex, of course, but I've also read a lot of Rex Fives fanfiction, just so you know. There you go. There's the answer. Anyway, Shaak Ti and the bounty hunters watch their practice test. Actual Asshole Brick wants to fail them and send them down with the quote-unquote rejects like 99, who is a precious baby who must be protected at all times, and we'll get to him in a minute. Luckily, Beta Male LS reminds him that this is a practice test, emphasized on the word practice. Shaak Ti actually sides with the asshole only because she feels that the cadets aren't quite ready. She starts pointing out each of their flaws. Echo doesn't adapt to situations, Heavy just wants to do what he wants, Cut Up and Droid Bait argue when Five surrenders. Shaak Ti has seen enough and sends 99 to clean up the battlefield. As they leave the battlefield, we meet 99. He's a clone that malformed in the cloning process, making him automatically maintenance duty. He's also the biggest cheerleader for his brothers, so rah rah, Domino Squad! Back in the barracks, the Domino Squad is pissed off at each other. Heavy is a dick to 99, but the old clone still roots him on. Heavy and Echo get in a fight, and Actual Asshole Brick breaks them up. AA Brick tells them like it is. You guys suck. You failed. You'll ruin all your futures. You'll never be soldiers. Disgrace to your brothers. So good luck and don't fuck up tomorrow. So what do you think of Act 1, Chris?
I'm psyched we're back on Kamino.
Yeah.
Their training area looks like the holodeck from Star Trek The Next Generation.
I don't know what that means.
It's got that gray, you know, just that gray, grid work. It looks like the holodeck before they turn it on in Star Trek.
You know, now that you mention it, it kind of reminds me of the laser bikes from Tron.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's definitely some of that there.
I've never actually seen Tron, but I know what they look like.
Yeah, there's the grid, mm-hmm. Definitely, and a little bit of the X-Men's Danger Room.
Or the Avengers Danger Room, too. Or here's a really old 90s flashback. Like something out of the old Toonami show reboot. That's an old flashback.
Saw that.
You know, for its time, it was really, really, like, advanced in its technology because the majority of the show was in 3D. It was like a 3D rendered show in the 90s.
Yeah, there were a couple of those.
Yeah, so like when you, it was really expensive to make, and it was really good. It was about like these group of people who like live in this mainframe, and like games would come in like beams, and you would like jump in, and you would like be in the game and stuff like that. But the bad guy was like a virus. And so the first couple seasons was just like, there was this main guy, and he was just like, I'm going to save everyone. But he ends up vanishing. So like the kid in the earlier seasons, he comes back and he's grown up and he's a badass motherfucker. And he was just like, and he has to go and save the other kid. But so like the later seasons got like kind of dark, but it was really good for its time. Like Reboot was a great show. So, but now when you look at the art, you're just like, oh my God.
There was, did you ever see, the movie Starship Troopers?
No, you've brought that up so many times, and every time I'm just like, no.
And there was a kiddie TV show. It was basically a proto Clone Wars. It was 3D animation, but it was in the 90s, way before it was up to the level of Clone Wars. But it was basically not as much the character. There were a couple characters from Starship Troopers, but it was the troops. It was just missions of the troops, and it was definitely like a forerunner of Clone Wars.
Yeah, I kind of think Reboot was too. It was definitely up there, because now it's like so easy just to do like 3D animated show that like, you know, well,
yeah,
there's been a lot
common.
Of yeah, and there's also been kind of like, I don't want to say a backlash, but there was a little while there, like, when, like, Tangled and Frozen was coming out, we were having these 3D, like, animated princesses, which were cool, but a lot of people were just like, man, I miss, like, the old 2D, like, hand-drawn panel-by-panel artwork, where they actually brought in real-life models to, like, dance and stuff like that for Disney. And so that's why it was kind of, like, a big deal when they went back to that with Princess and the Frog. Even though Moana, I think, is 3D. Yeah, Moana is 3D animated because they had to create a new mechanism just for the water.
Right, so. But Mulan was like, it was a melding of both of 3D and old techniques,
yeah.
Too.
It actually makes me really happy that, because they have a Tangled cartoon starting in 2017.
I saw that.
And so they're going back to 2D animation and her freckles. Oh. Tangled's my princess. Like, that's my girl. Like, I have 4 Rapunzel Christmas ornaments. I get my 4th one this year. Yay! She's my girl! oh man. I say that because, you know, we're recording before Christmas. So I did get, though, because it was on sale, a BB-8 Christmas ornament.
Oh, nice.
Really nice.
Speaking of which, now we could also, just to tangent some more, Hope and I got our Clone Wars packages from each other. I got my General Grievous Matchbox car, which has set me on a task to check every dollar store, because I've picked up the Kanan Matchbox car since then, and a Boba Fett one, which is really cool. The Kanan one is okay.
Yeah.
The BB-8 one looks really neat. And I got a Disney pin of Han, Leia, and Chewie riding through Pirates of the Caribbean, saying I got a bad feeling about this.
I almost sent you the other one, but the other one's my favorite. By the way, the reason I sound differently, because I'm currently wearing the Captain Rex helmet that Chris got me.
I'm very surprised I was able to rustle up so much Rex for that package.
I'm very excited. I'm trying to figure out where in my room to hang it, because I want to put it on my wall.
I also got a Funko Pop. My only Funko Pop bobblehead is a Dirty Yoda.
Yep.
And if anybody out there ever wants to make me a Dirty Yoda puppet, these are my I would gladly take a Dirty Yoda puppet. These are my only specifications. When you put your hand up in the puppet, it's got to go, oh! That's all.
If they have like a Yoda at Build-A-Bear, I'll make one for you and make sure it, like, there's gonna be children staring at me as I do, because at Build-A-Bear you can actually record your voice, and they have a thing where you can record your voice, and I'm gonna have children stare at me as I go.
Anyway.
But yeah, Chris got me a Rex kite, a Rex fingerboard, a Rex helmet, a bunch of Clone Wars stickers, which will go on my next short box when I Because, like, when I love stickers, but I never have any place to put them. So when I buy comp short boxes, I decorate them with stickers.
Yeah, me, I put stickers all over my short boxes, too, and long boxes. All my boxes. Yeah. All my boxes. Everything that I could stick stickers to, I stick stickers to. I love stickers.
Because I love going to, like, conventions and getting, like, artist-drawn stickers. So, because I have a lot of Sherlock ones. I have a really nice Ahsoka one, actually, that's on one of my long boxes that's by an artist. And so I like getting those, especially, like, the ones on Redbubble. Redbubble's a great website if you want to get stuff from artists. That's, like, really unique. So I have a bunch of Once Upon a Time stickers, so. But this is our first time talking since we got our gifts. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah,
I really love it.
Thank you.
I'm kind of like, you have all the stickers on the box, and I don't want to recycle the box. And I'm like, but I have no reason to save this box, so it's been sitting in my room for a few days.
I've already repurposed your box, turned it inside out, and I put 4 books on Egyptology into them and mailed them out the other day.
Yeah, so I might use it to mail somebody else's stuff. But
stuff gets recycled real fast in the eBay house here. So that, and that box was the perfect size. It was just like, oh, yes. Anyway.
So, about Act 1.
About Act 1. Finally, we get to see some crummy clones, and they're all stuck together.
I know.
All in the same unit. And so we must crush their egos. The 99, he's sort of like Gollum. And he's sort of like, did you ever see 300? There was a character in 300 that was like that, that was sort of deformed and followed along with the troops.
Yeah! See, he kind of reminds me of Igor.
Yeah, he's got all that sort of mixed in with him. But I'm glad they didn't make him, like, simple-minded, you know? He was just, his body was just crumpled up.
See, I'm glad they showed us, like, and something that Dave Filoni mentioned, that, like, clones don't come out, like, perfectly ready to fight. And sometimes cloning doesn't always work, and they gave us 99 to show it, that.
Yeah, at least they didn't, like, chuck him into the nuclear generator or something like that, you know? At least they're not in that. Although, with Shaak-Ti and that Kamino and talking, that scene was just kind of creepy.
Yeah,
even the animation of it, just something about the look of it was really neat and creepy.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later, too, but, you know, I always think of, I know I've talked about it so many times, but there's a really great webcomic called Star Wars Destiny, and in the very first chapter, Ahsoka goes to Kamino because she wants to talk to Slick and Dogma, Slick from the traitor clone and Dogma, who mm-hmm. we'll see in season 4, and the Kamino in is showing her different deficient clones, and one just got injured on the battlefield, and he was missing, like, half his face. And she was like, what's going to happen to them? And the Kaminoan was like, once we figure out why they were deficient, we kill them. And she was like, what? What? And the Kaminoans were like, they're just test subjects to us. Whatever.
Jeez, they could be gassing up the ships.
Yeah, I mean, like, and so I've been telling you for a while now, Kaminoans are dicks.
Yeah.
They're really big dicks, and we'll just see that more and more. Pretty much from here on out, if we go to Kamino, there's going to be a dick Kamino in somewhere.
My only other note is General Brainhead's kind of a dick, too. I don't like him.
Okay, every time that Brick opens his damn mouth talking about my babies makes me want to punch his animated head off his body. That is my very first note right at the top.
But he's the most like a real drill sergeant. He's kind of like a real drill sergeant. So he's kind of right in a way. And, we'll see. He has a little character arc, too.
Yeah, very tiny character arc, so.
Yeah, there's not a lot. There's only 22 minutes for all these character arcs, so.
Yeah. Kind of sort of already mentioned this. Here we go with a wonderful talent. That is Dee Bradley Baker. He's so good at making each of the members of the Domino Squad and 99 drastically different. Anyway, Shaak-Ti is another Jedi I would actually like to learn more about. She's a member of the Jedi Council, and now she's on Kamino. And I was wondering what made them send her, of all people, out there and not put her on the battlefield. Though, and I kind of realized it later, it was probably a smart idea to have a council member overseeing the clones, since that's the Republic's army. You don't want, like, a novice doing that. So, but I just kind of want to learn a little bit more about Shaak-Ti and about, like, who she is and a little bit more about her history and stuff like that. I mentioned it at the beginning of Rookies, and I'm going to say it again at the beginning of this episode. Keep an eye on Fives in all his appearances from here on out, because he's a very important future Clone Wars character, and it all starts right here out of the gate demanding to be called fives and not being called by a number. Like, that is a very important, like thing for him. And he doesn't get a lot to do in this episode, but he becomes more and more of an important character as they continue with fives.
Well, you gotta call him at least by a nickname or something, because when you see right in that beginning battle, when they have to call each other by their numbers, that's a mouthful on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm. You know, but Cut kind of talked about that too with Rex back in the Deserter, who was like, isn't it more efficient to be called by a number? And Rex was like, no, I have a name. But as also, it's like, no, if you had every time you had to call an order, be like, CT2358, yeah, go that way, CT1282, go that way.
It's better to have like a one two syllable nickname.
Yeah, be like, Dreadbait, Cut Up, go.
That describes you too, so it's easy to remember.
I love right at the beginning of the barracks scene, there are two clones chatting, and one's like, so I said to her, baby, you and me, and the other one's like, you've never met a girl. I just love that they're still guys.
They've only met Kamino and girls, which are...
Or Shaak Ti.
Yeah.
But I just love that. Like,
oh, they must love Shaak Ti.
What?
They must love Shaak Ti.
Yeah. I bet they think about her when they go in their little tubies at night.
In the bunks.
Yeah. Though, whenever I see Shaak Ti, I always like to think of whether or not Ahsoka would look similar to her in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's going to be similar, but not quite that. And, you know, when we finally see her in Rebels, she doesn't look exactly like Shaak Ti, but I think in Rebels she's still, like, early 20s. She had to be late. She was 14 at the beginning of the series. And then there's, a 20-year gap between...
Yeah, so she's got to be in her mid-30s.
So, yeah, never mind then. She pretty much is an adult, so... Unless Taruga has just aged slowly, then she's still, like, in her 20s-ish. So... Could be. She might just... I don't know how Taruga is, so... Oh, also, my favorite thing. One note about Brooke calling 99 a bad batcher. I don't know what I wrote there. The term bad batch actually comes up in an arc that never fully got made. You can watch the entire thing on StarWars.com, and it was about a group of clones that were purposely altered to make a special unit called the Bad Batch. And so, one guy was purposely made to be bigger, one guy was a tech guy, one guy was, like a fast guy, and so they purposely made this group of clones,
were
not
they
like
tweaked
the other
aspects of them.
Yeah, and so they're called the Bad Batch. And Rex actually has an arc where he's forced to work with them, and he's just like, oh. I've never actually seen it though, because I actually kind of want to wait to see it until we get there, because I plan for us to watch the Utapau arc and watch Bad Batch when we get there, because each one has 4 episodes. And it's all on StarWars.com. But it would have been, the second half of Season 6, or it would have been in Season 7. It would have been that time period.
Wow.
So, but, yeah, we will get there one day. I'm actually kind of waiting to watch Bad Batch, so until we get there. Because it's like the only bit of Clone Wars I haven't seen. So I kind of want to watch it fresh with you. But I know the basics of it, because I just could not stay off of Wikipedia. And it's canon. That's the other thing. It's canon, so it's technically canon. Ooh. Anyway, I don't have anything else for Act 1. Do you?
Nope, that's all I got.
All right, so Act 2. Shaak Ti discusses with Kamino Prime Minister Lamassu about the headstrong nature of the Domino Squad. Lamassu admits that since Jango Fett's death 2 of our podcast episodes ago, that they've had to stretch out his DNA. Lamassu suggests offing the Domino Squad, and Shaak Ti is like, whoa, 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 slow down there, bottleneck. We can't just kill them. They're living beings with minds and feelings and faces and cute butts. Those butts should be able to live. And Lamassu is like, whatever, man. Look, they're your problem, not mine. You figure it out. Back with our Domino Squad, our Domino Love Boys. What did I write? Back with our Domino Love Boys. ARC Trooper Commander Colt arrives and gives a riveting speech about brotherhood and fighting together. And Echo is inspired to follow the rules. And the rest of the Domino Squad is like, nerd! They all watch the trial of the Bravo Squad first. The Bravo squad has a perfect run, and Heavy is like, screw these losers, we're better than they are. Commander Colt asks how the next group, the Domino squad, are in practice rounds. An actual asshole Brick laughs. The Domino squad's trial starts, and it's awful. They're breaking ranks. Droid Bay gets shot in the back. Heavy breaks for the Citadel, leaving a man behind. They all leave poor Droid Bay, and they run for it. And suddenly, the simulation ends. Commander Colt fails them on the spot. That night, Beta Male LS says he's requested to Shock T for the Domino Squad to repeat the final test. AA Brick is like, this is a waste of time. They're a waste of time. I can't believe you have feelings, Beta Male. As long as I get paid, it's fine by me. LS thinks the Dominoes will be the finest soldiers they ever train, and Brick just wants a nap. They don't know that number one Domino Squad groupie 99 is listening. Fives and Echo go to Shock T to ask to be moved to Bravo Squad. She gives the analogy that Jedi and clones are similar. They're both individuals, but they're also part of a much larger group that look out for each other. Echo is like, well, me and Fives are looking out for each other. And Shock T is like, sorry, bitch, you're looking out for yourself. Get your personal shit aside and retake the test tomorrow. Cutie Scottish clone Cutup is summoned by AA Brick, who is like, you're the biggest fuck-up of your squad. You should just jump off this ledge right now and get your failure over with. And then the asshole Brick punches my boy Cutup, and oh boy, you better not ever touch my clones like that again, because I got my crazy eyes going right now, and you don't want to fuck with me or my baby clones, because I'm not a bitch to fuck with, and I'll fuck you up. Because he's a lovely person. Cutup takes a hit, laughs, and goes, huh, Cutup, I like that name. Thanks, man. Heavy tries to defect from the army, but 99 catches him in the act. Heavy says that he's a failure like 99, but 99 says that he doesn't consider himself a failure. He was made malform, and he never got a chance like Heavy to be a soldier. 99 has a team like Heavy to 99 never had a team like Heavy to rely or anchor. Heavy gets upset that 99 keeps calling him Heavy, and 99 says that the clones have never been numbers. They've always been individuals. And then Hope cried for an hour.
Well, the scene where Brainhead punches Cutup in the guts is like, that is a part of basic training. That happens a lot with there was a scene in the comedy movie Stripes that's almost exactly like that. But there's been, I mean, in dozens of war movies and basic training, that's like the scene where the one guy who's a smartass gets punched in the stomach by the drill sergeant. You almost have to have it.
Mm-mm. Touch my baby.
This is where I realized, except for sort of the story element that I just didn't take seriously of, like, they might kill these guys if they don't pass. I just didn't believe they were going to do that in Clone Wars anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't one of those episodes where it's like, we've got to win this battle. It's all sort of a personal story arc. And it was by this point in the story that I was thinking, this is a really unusual way to start off the season, you know, without a big battle, without any of our major characters at all. Nobody.
Yeah.
And just a story of a group of clones getting their shit together, you know?
Yeah.
It's a very not nondescript, but it's kind of a subtle story to start out a season with.
You have to also keep in mind that this was a part of a two-parter.
Right.
Not exactly a two-parter, but the episode right after this, which is ARC Troopers, which is about Echo and Fives becoming ARC Troopers.
Right.
Because Kamino gets attacked, and it's this big, massive battle with Grievous and the return of Asajj Ventress.
Right, right. Yeah. That seems more like you would have, and they probably had both episodes on as the premiere. You know, they probably
They ran one
both
after
of them.
Another.
Yeah, so if this was just the Clone Wars you got that week, it would be a little more unusual. But still, it's unusual to start it out with, like, sort of, I guess, a quiet episode, in a way.
Yeah. You know, now that you mention it, I'm actually kind of wish they did kind of put a more heavy emphasis of, like, these guys have to pass, literally, for their lives. Or at least, because it sounds like if they fail, they'll just work with 99. But they're... I wish there was, like, more stakes to failing, other than just, like, we'll disgrace our brothers.
Yeah, that was enough for me. You know, that was in the framework of the episode. It's okay, you know? It's okay. It doesn't have to have... Lives in the universe don't have to hang in the balance for it to be a good story.
So, are you saying the fact that it is a quiet episode that you don't like it, or is it just different?
I think it's kind of a... like, it... Well, it's sort of going along with Clone Wars so far, is where it's kind of... I don't want to say it's go as far as risky to do something mm-hmm. like that, but they're being adventuresome. And, you know, I don't need to have the season come in, you know, with a big roar.
Yeah.
And it didn't really go out with a big roar either. So I kind of like it. There's a confidence to the production of this that I really like.
You know.
So yeah, it's a positive thing that I'm saying.
Season 2 was sort of like that a little bit. Like, we got the 3-parter Cad Bane, but it was all just mostly like Cad Bane on his own. It wasn't like a big... It wasn't like the Battle of Geonosis,
right,
where it was this big thing. And then we ended season 2 with, you know, the with Aurra Sing and Ahsoka and Plo Koon kind of romp. So yeah, I mean, I like the fact that they know that they can have this. And I kind of like that this episode, knowing that this came like right before ARC Troopers and it aired at the same time, because Echo and Fives are so prominently in that episode as well. So it kind of gave more of their background, instead of, like, if ARC Troopers came first, we'd be, unless people remembered Rookies, where Echo and Vibes really didn't do that much anyway. I mean, at least it gave us, like, a little refresher course before we had them next week.
Right.
So.
But that's pretty much all the notes I got.
Well, once again, I've been telling you, Chris, that Kaminoans are assholes, and we're seeing it here with Lama Su calling the Domino Squad efficient, and he only sees them as things, like droids. They either function or they don't. Kaminoans are assholes.
They got a little bit of a god complex, as you would imagine cloners would, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, though I just... you know, Shakti, kind of, I'm just sitting here going... You know, the Kaminoans have been doing this for a while now for Darth Sidious. Actually, well, Darth Sidious and Dooku didn't, I don't think, actually physically went there themselves. I think they set it up for them to go there, if I remember correctly. So I was about to say, Shakti would be like, huh, there should be something sinister here, but she might not sense anything. Anyway, still on the point of Shakti, she's kind of a perfect example of the Jedi's being hypocrites. Because Shakti argues that the Domino Squad are living beings and who shouldn't be off for being deficient. But the Jedi are totally cool with making an army specifically for war to go out there and die in the battlefield.
And be cannon fodder, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, like, that just kind of shows how much the hypocrites of the Jedi are, because they're just totally cool with that.
I kept thinking, if these guys lose, hey, they might live. You know? They have way better chance of living.
That's very true. I always wondered what happened to how many clones were left on Kamino after Order 66.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to those guys? Because I'm sure not all of them were there, and I'm sure there were still plenty of babies being made, because they weren't sure. They didn't know the war was going to end suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was an EU story about a group of Kaminoans that smuggled about 100 clones off planet. And those 100 clones didn't go through with Order 66, and they decided to try and mount a resistance against the Empire, and Vader found them and just killed them all. But that was an EU story, because clones. I had to read it. So, anyway. I slightly wish this episode was in last season, because, and that's only really because for actual asshole Brick and Beta LS, I think their different views about training the clones would have fit really well in the Rise of the Bounty Hunter season to help show, like, the different kinds of bounty hunters.
Sure.
I think this episode, maybe, like, at the end of last season, it would have been a really good place. Hell, right before the finale, so. And I think this episode would have went really well, like, right before the Boba Fett arc. You know, we have adult cadets and then, like, kid cadets. So, but. I love the foreshadowing from LS that the Domino Squad will be the finest soldiers they will ever train. This is especially true for Fives and all his future arcs, because he becomes, like, the star of the Domino Squad.
Super soldier.
Yeah, It's so hard not to actually talk about it, because I really want to talk about Fives right now and, like, talk about his journey and how he's developing, but I don't want to spoil anything from you. I should just start keeping a notebook of, like, all the Fives things, and when we actually get there, just at the very end of his arc in a later season, just be like, all right, here's all the things I couldn't say from the past five seasons.
Like a time capsule.
Yeah. I'm not actually going to do that to you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. 99 is such a precious little clone. I love him, and I want to hug him, and I want to give him flowers and hot chocolate and give him a very nice life.
Aww.
So precious. Because, like, what I actually... I was thinking about 99. I wonder how much, like, other clones, like, Heavy talked to him that way. Because Heavy's, like, asshole to 99. And I'm wondering if other clones like that... And he just takes it. Like, he's chill. He's like, oh, all right, I know I'm deficient, and so I'm still here. Hey.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet he gets some of it, but I bet you it's harder because they're all basically, like, literally brothers. You know, they're genetically linked.
Yeah, I mean, like, when my sisters and my brother pick on me, like, it hurts sometimes, but I know that's, like, it's never really truly serious. Like, there's been a very few times where I've, like, actually had to have talks with my sister and just be like, stop it. You're really hurting me. So I wonder if it's just kind of like he just takes it as, like, mild teasing. But he also has seemed to, like, really, really accepted his position.
Yeah. Well, he's a clone, so...
Yeah.
It's sort of baked in.
And I kind of have to wonder about his age. I wonder if he came out that old, or if he's relatively new, or if he's been around since, like, the first batch.
I got the impression that he's been around a little longer, and that maybe part of his deficiency, he ages a little faster, you know. Could be part of it, that, you know, maybe that's why his back is bent, because his spine was growing too fast and just curving around and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Though, I have seen some really cool fan theories. While some of the clones get their names on the battlefield, 99 actually names a lot of the clones before they leave Kamino.
That would make sense.
Yeah, like, he's just, like, goes around, and he's just like, your name is Bob! And you're like, my name is what? Bob! I like that name! I'm Bob!
Your name's Bathtub. Your name's Otter.
Kind of like what we do for the clones that don't get
exactly.
Named. Can we name the dickish Bravo Squad? Well, that was the only time I'll ever call a clone a dick. But Dick 1, Dick 2, Dick 3, Dick 4, Dick 5.
Okay.
Okay. Because, like, when they were leaving the battlefield, they're like, oh, the donut
squad. We could just do a D1 through D5.
D1, yeah. Because they were such jerks to the Domino Squad when they were leaving the battlefield, and they were just like, oh, it's Domino Squad.
Yeah, Domino Squad would have been dicks to them if they would have trounced through it. So,
that's true. I guess it's just the nature of boys.
It's clones will be clones.
Boy, and cloning clones. Well, I didn't have anything else for Act 2, did you?
No, I'm ready to fly right into the final act.
Oh, right. So, Act 3. It's a new day. For once, it's not raining on Kamino. The sea beasts are flying in the air, and it's beautiful. And it's time for the Domino Squad to take their final test. They rise like beautiful pumas from the ground, and they work in perfect sync together. It's a thing of beauty. They make it all the way across the test floor, and all they need to do is scale the Citadel. But wait! Actual asshole Brick took away their ascension cables to climb the wall because he's a dick. But LS wants to stop the test because it's cheating, but Shakti is like, no, war sucks. Let's see how what they do. And my clone babies are super smart. They blast out the guns on the Citadel face and climb the guns as ladders. They reach the top and they celebrate their victory. Actual asshole Brick must admit that Beta Male LRS was right the entire time and won the title of Alpha Male. The Domino Squad graduates and get their fancy medals. Heavy meets with 99 and says that he's lucky to have a brother like him. And he gives 99 his medal, and I cry more. The end.
I have a name for him for 99 now. Huh. Quasimo Clone.
Oh,
and that medal's his precious, the precious.
Oh, no. And actually, we'll see that next week.
Oh,
the precious. Well, that medal will come up again next week. Not as much, but Because you gotta keep in mind, next week episode takes over after Rookies, so Heavy is definitely dead. So, well, what'd you think of Act 3?
It was pretty good. I think it's the weakest part of the episode, because we have a lot of characters in this. I like how Actual Asshole actually has to, you know, say, oh, yeah, they did good. And I liked that he didn't give them their, you know, he sort of forced them to have to excel, you know. Mm-hmm. So he kind of was responsible for a lot of, you know, he kind of helped them along. I think the third part of this took this down a little bit for me, because it just sort of wraps things up a little quickly, you know, the transition from when these guys go from being fuck ups to completely acing it. It's a little too fast, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little too quick. You don't really get to see. I mean, for them to actually cohere together and work together, that all of them had, and they developed that in the earlier part of the show. Each of them had their own little attitude that they had to get over in order to all work together. You know, they all had to get over themselves in order to work together. And instead of seeing how they each did that, which really would have been hard in 20 minutes, it just sort of happens, you know, on the battlefield at the end. And just, you know, before, you know, with them sort of, you know, getting pep talks and yelling at each other and stuff. But it didn't quite make it perfectly real for me, you know.
I think if they had, like, two more minutes, they could have had this, like, one tiny scene of the five of them sneaking in and, like, assessing it and, like, practicing together.
And that's, which in Stripes there's a scene like that where it shows them saying, look, we got to pass inspection. You know, the drill sergeant's gone. Let's get to work. And they work through the night together and then pull it out their butts, you know, at inspection. And that would have made, it a little more smooth and made more sense.
Yeah. I think this is the one of the few times in Clone Wars where time kind of hurts them.
Yeah.
I think if they just had, like, two more minutes and had, like, a slightly extended episode, they could have done something like that and showed them just, or even just having, like, 30 seconds of them talking, just going, we need to get over ourselves.
Yeah.
Because, like, after their second practice test and their failure, they're separate for the rest of the episode until their final test.
Right.
And so they don't really have a moment where they just, until they're rising up through the floor where they're talking and they're like, okay, this is it. Echo, orders,
yep.
No, I'm good. Got it, how's the shoulder? Got it. And then, like, so, like, I see what you're saying. Like, if they had maybe, like, 30 seconds, like, or even, like, 30 seconds before they walked into the conveyor belt to go up the thing, they just go, look, guys, this is it. Like, we need to, Heavy, get over yourself. Echo, only do your thing. Droid bait, don't get shot.
Yep.
So... I see what you're saying. I never really thought about that. I'm just like, yeah, I did it.
But that's about all the notes I had for this.
I love in the opening shot of this act, it's so nice to see Kamino not raining for once.
I know, it's weird, huh?
I know. I think every appearance before this, it's always been raining on Kamino. So it's kind of nice to see, like, a nice sunny day. I do love the music while the Domino Squad is taking their final test. Like, dun, 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 they're doing a test, it's army music. It was better than that, I'm sorry. I also thought about something when the Domino Squad was getting their medals. It's not like clones have homes or apartments, so where do they keep stuff like that?
It looked like they had, like, a little, like, mesh area in the top of their bunk that they could probably stash something like that.
But they're leaving Kamino. They're leaving to not come back to go fight in the battlefield.
I don't. They've got to have, each of them's got to have their own little, like, I can't remember what they're called, but it's basically, you know, in the army you have a box at the end of your bed that you have everything, you know, all your everything in there, you know.
Yeah, They probably have, like,
and,
very...
You know, I mean, there's just probably very few personal items that they have. They'd all have to be, like, something like a medal or, you know, a little knick-knack or something like that.
Yeah, because, like, back in the Hidden Enemy episode with Slick the Traitor clone, there was that one clone that was collecting droid fingers. And so, like, they probably have a place, like, in their barracks, wherever they're stationed, where they put stuff like that. Because, I mean, a medal's not a big thing. They could probably wear that, like, under their armor. But I was thinking, like, what if, like, you know, in the Ryloth episode, if Numa gave them the Tuca doll, like, they'd be like, oh, this is great. I don't have pockets.
Yeah, no, they have, you know, they have some equivalent of a suitcase, you know, that they've got to.
Yeah. And my final note is I think we kind of mentioned this before. I like episodes like these, and they're both interesting and really haunting about how similar the Clone Cadets and training is to the Empire's training. I mean, cause this is pretty much the template for training stormtroopers, yep. And we've seen that in several episodes of Rebels so far.
Yeah.
Like,
but
two are coming to mind.
Stormtroopers just don't seem to pick it up as good.
Yeah, well, stormtroopers aren't trained from birth, and I think that's the difference between that and the First Order. I mean, because Finn was like, I was taken as a baby and raised this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of like what the Jedi do. The First Order did it like Finn. They take them as baby and they raise them. They don't know their families, but it's kind of like the clones, too. Like, they were raised from birth to be this way.
Yeah.
So, I never actually connected the First Order to Jedi before. Holy crap. Wow. I impressed myself. Anyway. But yeah, we've seen it. I can think of two episodes of Rebels so far. There's one in season one where Ezra is a cadet. And then there's the one from this season, season three, the Antilles Instruction, where Sabine was at TIE Fighter pilot school. So, mm-hmm. But we kind of mentioned that during the Clone Cadet episode 2 last season, so I just wanted to bring it up again. So, well, I don't have anything else for this episode, do you?
No, I'm ready to score this baby up.
All right, well, how do you score it up, Chris?
It probably would have been an 8.5 to a 9, because I really liked it, but I docked it down to 7.5 for hurrying over the end of it, but so making it a solid episode, but it could have been like a favorite episode if it was maybe if it was two parts or like you said just another 2 minutes or whatever, but I sort of needed something to see what it was that made them come together, you know, that was sort of the whole crux of the whole show, so they did get docked a point and a half.
Well, for me, I'm really glad this Clone Wars crew revisited the Domino Squad from Rookies. I loved them back then, and I still love them today. And since Droid Bait, Cut Up, and Heavy died so fast in that episode, it was nice to get more of them. Because Heavy made the ultimate sacrifice in Rookies. Like, he was the one at the end that blew up the base to save everybody. And so, with the background given here, it makes his death far more impactful. And I really actually like watching this episode and then going back and watching Rookies right after it because it really fills in a lot of the Domino Squad for me. And I know I keep saying to watch Fives, but he'll play a bigger role next week and in future episodes. And what can I say? I love clones. They're an adorable bunch of teenage babies. And this is one of actually my personal favorite episodes of Clone Wars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, come on, it's clones. Of course it's one of my personal favorites.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, like, Rookies is one of my favorite too, and I love, like I said, I love watching this episode with Rookies. I wish the two-parter was kind of like that. So I give it an 8.5 out of 10, even with its flaws.
Yeah.
I
could see that.
Yeah. So I like next week a little bit better, because we get the return of Asajj Ventress.
Season
one, Cloak of Darkness, with her, Luminara, and Ahsoka. That was the last time we've had Ventress.
Wow.
So, I'm ready. We actually both have favorites, because Grievous is next week, too.
Mm.
And I'm going to be watching next week to see if Grievous and Anakin run into each other, because, like, now that I know after episode 3...
Ain't gonna happen.
What?
Ain't gonna happen.
I know, but still, I'm going to be looking out for it, like, to see if, like, one turns a corner and the other one, like,
There'll be stuff like that, but yeah.
Because now I'm, like, looking out for it now.
It's all going to be like that part in Austin Powers where there was always something blocking his penis when he was running around naked.
Yeah. Or like those like old cartoons where like a person runs out of one door and like the bad guy ghost from Scooby-Doo goes out another.
Yep.
And they just like barely miss each other. So
yeah, it's totally gonna be that.
Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback. You can give us feedback on iTunes. You can leave us a review and rate us, and we'll read it here on the show. And we like when you leave reviews on iTunes because it helps people find the show too. And it helps move us up through the iTunes rank. So if you like us, help us move it on up to the east side of podcasting. you can also leave us feedback on Twitter at JSNJedi, or you can leave us a comment on the Two True Freaks Facebook page where we post all of our episodes. And this week's feedback comes from our Facebook page, and it was from our friend Aaron Henley and myself chatting about the episode of Cat and Mouse. So I'll tell you what, you read Aaron's and I'll read mine.
Okay, Aaron Henley.
Because we had actually a long conversation about Cat and Mouse, so.
Aaron Henley says, hooray, I have answers for all your technical questions today. Oh, I'm so excited that now my non-canon trivia can be put to use. First off, Hope is correct that proton torpedoes are much more powerful than the standard laser shot, roughly about 25 to 50 times, as it varied throughout different sources. So it makes sense for more power being transferred from other systems to compensate. The recharge rate seemed more a plot device, but that's been the case with SHIELD technology in general. This is very Star Trek soundy. All Rebel Alliance fighters have shields, yet get taken out with just a couple shots in the movies in Rebels. Also, the main reason the Empire avoided using clones was for a very long time, beginning with the Thrawn trilogy up to Episode 2, it was believed that the Republic actually fought against the clones and that all cloning technology was banned throughout the galaxy. This didn't stop Palpatine from stockpiling it for future use, as seen in the Thrawn trilogy for building up an army, and in Dark Empire for transferring his Force life essence into a new body and following the Battle of Endor. Also, the submarine warfare aspects of the episode were very well done. The tension building with the increasing sonar pings was exceptional. The characters even whispered, which probably wouldn't make as much sense, as sound doesn't travel in space at all versus underwater, but it was a nice touch. I do wish we had seen either more of the stealth ship or little references. Chris's idea of them being used as spy ships was great, and I would have loved to read some of the Black Ops missions these troopers went on. I think I can no prize why they weren't used by either forces in the Galactic Civil War. The main Imperial leadership, with few exceptions, never truly considered the Rebellion the threat it was and just focused on overwhelming firepower. The Rebellion probably couldn't get a hold of it, as I'm guessing the Empire either destroyed the stealth ships and locked up the technology, or it just wasn't as feasible anymore. Yeah, that's a little weak, I admit. Anyway, another great episode, guys.
And then I responded, if you're referring to the Thrawn books, then they're not canon anymore. I haven't listened to this episode yet, talking about Cat and Mouse at the time, but I think we were discussing the canon reasons of why they weren't using clones anymore, which is this. And then I added a video. I actually meant to click on the video to get to the people who did it. It's by Star Wars and Explained, and it's labeled "Why Did the Empire Stop Cloning?" and it's the canon reasons. And pretty much a short version of this video, they discuss that they pretty much decommissioned them. Palpatine thought they were creepy. The clones were creepy, and he'd rather.
A lot coming from Palpatine.
I know, and pretty much the short version was he thought it was creepy, and he'd rather raise people himself, and he purposely picked people who were bullies. People who were, right, like, downbeaten and angry, and he personally picked them to be stormtroopers.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron Henley said, oh, I did not know that. Whoops. Thanks for the link. Well, so anyone want about a dozen reference books that don't make any sense anymore?
And I said, sadly, the original Thrawn trilogy isn't canon. It got put into Legends, but there is a new Thrawn book coming out next year by the original writer.
And he says, yep, yep, and boy howdy, am I looking forward to it. I wonder if they could get Mads Mikkelsen to do the audiobook for it like they got Ashley Eckstein to do Ahsoka. Anyway, I listened to a bit of her performance, like the first minute or two, and man, was it epic. I almost wish they had rewritten the story to be a first-person narrative rather than a third-person, but it still was awesome to hear Ahsoka again.
And at the time, I was reading the Ahsoka book, and I said, I still haven't heard it yet, but I'm about halfway through the book at the moment.
And he says, well, it's definitely worth it. That's all I will say. And also give our moms props for being totally awesome and catering to our geeky ways. Thanks, Mom.
And this was before we put out our episode with me and my mom drinking wine with Chris. And I went, ha-ha, you don't even know what's coming from us yet when it comes to mommies.
And he said he was looking forward to it, but so, now we'll see.
I still haven't had the chance to listen to that episode yet.
Oh, geez.
I know, my mom listened to it, though, and she really enjoyed it, so she said it was a really great joy talking with you. I haven't had the time, because I'm in crazy holiday hours, so...
You can hear two distinct moments in it, and these are the moments I love, almost the greatest moments of podcasting. When you have someone who hasn't podcasted before, and they're like, yeah, whatever, she's doing something with her daughter, you know, I'll check this out. And then they realize somewhere in there that they're having a great time. You know, they realize, oh, my God, we're just having a nerdy conversation and there's no pressure here. And then they go, oh, I think your mom at one point goes, this is great. And you could tell that, you know, she meant it. It just jumped into her head like, you know what? I thought this was going to be a little weird and I'm having fun. And I love when that happens. That happens a lot in podcasts and I love it.
Yeah, so thank you for the feedback, Aaron. So that's pretty much all I have for this episode. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com, where we've got just, buttloads and buttloads of podcasts. By this time, there's probably going to be a whole bunch of podcasts. I'm hoping to get together with Scott Gardner to do a review of Rogue One, and last year we actually got together to do a review of Force Awakens, so hopefully we'll be doing the new Star Wars. I'm sure you and I will be talking about Rogue One. There'll probably be a panel discussion on it. And,
yeah, if I can't make the panel, I would like to do like a little thing of just you and me.
Yeah, or we could maybe do a J Guys about it or something.
Yeah, another 0.5 episode.
Yeah. And, This month, just yesterday, as we're recording this, it's been a few weeks, but I'm sure it's still up there. Aaron Henley made awesome tribute to Sean Engel, where he collected, he had a little group discussion, and he collected tapes from people, and Hopes is, get your tissues for Hopes. But he did a really good job. It's been something I've thought that I... known that I should have been doing for the last year, but I could not bring myself to do it, so I'm really glad that he did it. And he did basically what I wanted to do, but I think he did a better job than I would have done.
If you're a new listener and you don't know what we're talking about, our very first episode of J Guys and Jedi is dedicated to our friend Sean, who passed away. Actually, we're
right
on
about when this came out, when we started J Guys and Jedi.
Yeah, and the day that we're recording today is the day before the anniversary of his passing. And so it was very nice that you did that for him, Aaron. Like, we really appreciate that. If you want to hear me cry for 15 minutes straight.
We've got it up on Two True Freaks, but you can also find it on Aaron's podcast, which is Tangents Abound on Libsyn.
I keep apologizing to Chris that I'm sorry I made him cry.
Oh, it was. I listened to the whole thing yesterday, and between you and Andrew Leyland, I just gotta say the two of you guys really put yourselves out there for that podcast. So it takes a bit of guts to do that.
Well, I had thought about what I wanted to say beforehand, and I was very calm, and I knew I wanted to listen. I hadn't heard Sean's voice. Because me and Sean used to be co-podcasters on Who True Freaks, and I hadn't heard his voice in a year. I couldn't bring myself to listen to it. So when I knew I was going to be recording this, I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to... My favorite episode that we did together was Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I'm going to listen to a little bit of Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, and just to kind of hear it, it'll be good for me, it'll be cathartic. And the moment I heard his voice, I just lost it.
Yeah.
I lost it, and I just started... Every eloquent thing I had thought of to say, I just went out my brain and I just started talking.
There aren't a lot of clips in the show of Sean, but the ones that he picked to put in there are fantastic.
Yeah, the one for me was the one I picked. I purposely picked that because he was talking about Rory's dad, and Sean was such a good father, so I wanted to just something about like him talking about fathers. I felt that was I felt that was fitting, and we were talking about Roy's dad at the time, so that's why I chose that one. So,
but that's like the episode of the month at Two True Freaks. If you were a listener, Sean, you might want to check that one out.
Yeah, I want to backlash cheer some of his old Green Lantern buddies. Sent their condolences to my Twitter. I kind of want to find them and pass it along to them too.
Well, speaking of Twitter, what can they find you?
Yeah, that was a nice tangent there.
Thanks.
You can find us at JGuys and Jedi. I run our Twitter account, and you can also find me at Hope Mullinex. I'm also the newsbeat writer for WhatTheFangirl.com, and so you can follow all of our great stuff over there as well and see some of my work. So, yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm stretching. Stretch. So...
Yeah, come back next week for even more clones. Oh my god, you're going to be in your glory.
We're going to be with clones and Ventress and Obi-Wan. It's pretty much everybody.
And like old Clanky. Don't forget old Clanky.
And Cody and Rex. And
Clanky Coffee.
And 99. 99 will be back, and then he won't be back.
99 Luftballons.
I got 99 problems, and Rex isn't one of them. Yeah! Isn't Kanye
99 dead clones go by.
Oh, no! 99 cute butt clones go by. 99 of them walks by. And then, like, 99 hobbles behind them at the end. And watch him be, like, malformed, but he has, like, a perfect ass.
All right.
Hey, butt guys!
This is a really butt-oriented, JGuys and Jedi, so we'll just leave it at that.
Well, butts are nice. Butts are great. A good butt.
I'm a butt watcher.
I like butts. I like nice butts, from like Tom Hiddleston butts to like nice curvy butts like Nicki Minaj butts.
Okay, butts. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other boys can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get Rex.
That was pretty good. If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Where have you been, Lord Randall, my son? Oh, make my bed soon, for I'm weary from hunting.